You heard you could save big when you bundle home and auto with Progressive, so you went online to check it out. But then you saw a link for a survey about which type of bread you are. And now you're on question 17, barely scratching the surface of your bread identity. You always thought of yourself as a brioche, but are you actually more of a pumpernickel? Ah, yes. They said it was easy to save money bundling with Progressive, but they forgot about the rest of the internet. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Bundle discount not available in all states or situations.
HD Smartcast.
You are listening to a Mint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hi everyone, welcome back to Delhi Decoded. I'm Pritika Khanna, your host, and I'm here with your weekly update from the national capital. In this podcast, each episode, we pick a pin code from Delhi and dive into the most famous buildings, landmarks, and stories from that pin code. For those of you who are from Delhi, I'm sure you have some very special memories from these places. For those of you who aren't, don't worry, I'll help you get a peek into the pulse of Delhi.
Hamari apni Delhi.
The pandemic has affected businesses across the board. One of the key sectors impacted has been the restaurant and the hospitality industry. In Delhi, this sector is even more important as 64.06% of people in the national capital are employed in the service sector. 6 months back, stepping out for a meal after work or ordering your favorite food home was an activity that was more than normal. Now, one has to think 100 times even before bringing groceries into the house. In markets like Greater Kailash 2's M Block Market in 110048, rows of restaurants were a usual hangout spot for people to go after work or grab a meal. Today, even as restrictions have been eased, the market is just about slowly opening up. Restaurants have had a tough run over the past 6 months. First, the extended lockdown, along with social distancing rules, restaurants across have had to change their approach. Being an essential service, even though some restaurants started delivery early on, but with people taking precautions, restrictions on operations, and high overheads have led to businesses shutting down. If we see some of the steps that have been taken by other countries to boost dining in restaurants, there are some examples we see from Europe. In United Kingdom, the government came out with an eat out to help out scheme where the government would subsidize meals in August on 3 days of the week. There were various red flags raised by economists over this scheme, as it would not only cost the government a huge amount of money, it came as the UK is facing a second wave of virus infections. The reasoning the government gave for such a move was that it would boost the service sector, which provides employment for a lot of people in UK. I have with me Radhika Khandelwal, executive chef and owner at Radish Hospitality. Her restaurant Fig and Maple in 110048 is one of the more popular joints in the market. And she joins me today to share with us what it's been like to run a restaurant during a pandemic. Hi Radhika, thank you so much for joining us on Delhi Decoded today.
Hi Pritika, it's a pleasure to be here.
So, you know, with COVID-19, I think businesses across the board are suffering. But the hospitality industry has faced a major brunt with, you know, first the extended lockdown, now that, there are social distancing rules in place. I know it's difficult to sum up, but how have the last 6 months been for you as both a chef and a business owner?
So, I think the perfect word to sum it all up would be challenging. However, yeah. I have a deeper insight into it. I think the first 1 week actually came as a relief because we had just finished with like the busiest season. And I think we were okay with a break and no one had any idea as to how long this would last. In fact, I remember my last staff briefing was me telling them, you know, we'll be back in a week or so. So let's just like, you know, take a break and, you know, reconnect with our families and whatever. And just one of my team members actually went back home that day. The lockdown. After that, I think the other word I would describe the hospitality industry as would be resilient. I think the way the industry has innovated, pivoted, done everything possible and stood up for each other, it's been really heartening to be a part of it.
True. That's very true. In terms of what do you see happening next? Because, you know, we've seen there's a negative effect happening on ground. There are restaurants that are shutting down. People are very apprehensive to go out and eat. So what do you see happening next now?
So the F&B business is practically something, I mean, like where your money is actually just recycled. So whatever you earn actually goes back into the business most of the time. You're constantly upgrading. And so the savings are, I don't think the hospitality thinks of savings beyond 3 months. Mm. And now it's been a fair amount of time. It's almost 6 months now since this happened. And you do see a lot of places shutting down. I have, in fact, closed one of my own businesses recently. Yeah. And it's people. But, you know, the funny thing about that was the last week of IBNB, those many people in the past 6 months, I've not even, like, seen those many people. So it is... I don't know whether it was just the fact that people needed a push to come out or, and it sounds absolutely wrong in one sense, but to be honest, I felt like I owed it to them to have like a last week.
Yeah.
I owed it to myself as well. And which is exactly what I saw. And it kind of made me hopeful, and I know I sound extremely optimistic even though I've just shut down a business, but that last week gave me so much hope. There were people through the day.
That must have been very heartening to see as well, because it's been everything has been empty for 6 months.
Exactly. It was such a heartening sight, and it had to give me hope.
That's actually great to hear. But in terms of, you know, if you could help us just understand in terms of how much did you have to pivot in these last 6 months? Like if you could give some examples of the kind of pivot.
So I think we started just 3 weeks after the lockdown was announced, because we were an essential service.
Yeah.
However, I did not want to expose my team to it. So it was just me and my partner. And we started deliveries from the Fig and Maple kitchen. That was our first pivot, actually, because Fig and Maple never delivered. Soon after, we started with our signature line. We were the first people in the country to start a sauce, preserve, whatever, you know, condiment line from the restaurant, which was our biggest pivot. Because it adds substantially to our revenue. We were also the first people who started cocktail kits in the city.
And this was also back when liquor was not being allowed to be served, right? I mean, to be sold.
And most bars were actually closed. So they didn't even have an opportunity to pivot. Because Fig and Maple is such an experience space.
Yeah,
we needed people to be able to experience it. So, which is why we thought of doing cocktail kits in the first place.
That's very interesting.
Then came the gift boxes and the brunch boxes and our website and I don't know, 100 other things. However, I do believe, like, and maybe it's because I'm a chef, that by the end of all the time, I don't feed people myself by putting food on a plate. I will not be 100%
sad. Yeah, because you don't know how it's going out, if they're heating it properly, if they're, you know, you don't know what's happening to the end product. So that's sort
Exactly. Some people, even when they would make it with the sauces and all, they would send pictures and I would be like, please, like...
That's not how you would have served it. That's interesting. But you mentioned right now that, you know, delivery was something that you never looked into in the past, but going forward, do you see delivery as being the new king for restaurants?
I personally don't. I know it is right now, and it seems like it will be. And I know that people are investing in cloud kitchen concepts and all of that. But
yeah,
I personally feel we are social beings. Until the time we don't go out, interact with people, and not just our friends. Like, it's like from the minute you step out of your house till the time you reach your destination, you still, you know, have some sort of interaction and influence on people, and people have that on you. It's a very behavioral thing for human beings. And we need that, which is why I think people are now sick of it, and you see more people on the streets, even if it's social distancing and all of that. I've experienced this in my restaurant as well. We have contactless dining. However, people always want to speak to the server. It's just a human need. I don't think it's a long-term thing. I personally, myself, miss dining out so much, and not just dining out, like going out, getting a drink, interacting with the bartender, interacting with another chef. Those things are, those things you will not find at home. You can, I can't package my restaurant and send it over.
True. Very true. Speaking of liquor, this week is when restaurants are now being allowed to finally serve liquor again. Do you think that will help in any way?
Yes, picking. Yes, I absolutely believe it'll help. See, the thing is that even if we have, say, for example, 12 tables coming in every day, however, APC per table goes down immensely if you're not serving alcohol. So I feel like even if the same amount of people are coming in and they're consuming alcohol, your APC goes up, hence your revenue goes up. I do believe
well, that should definitely provide some relief. But if you know, you could just help me understand what is the kind of help that is needed for restaurants right now? Because back when the central government was announcing aid for different sectors, the hospitality industry was not a major part of the announcements. I don't think anything major was announced back then. So,
you know, what is the minor part of the announcement? It was not a part of the announcement. This was like, we don't exist.
Yeah. Also, because, and especially, you know, given in a place like Delhi, the service industry is the biggest employer.
Yes.
So if that industry is suffering, it's going to impact everything else that goes on. So, you know, if you could like just help us understand what is the kind of help do you think that's needed for restaurants right now?
On a very, very basic ground level, I feel like the one thing we need is definitely revise utility bills.
Okay.
We need license extensions, which nothing has been spoken about license extensions. And we paid our excise fees in Feb, because Delhi takes excise fees 1 month in advance. Used 1 day of our license and there has been no announcement of extension. So, and this is, we're talking lakhs of money.
Yeah, of course.
Our stock died. There's been no respite on that. Like there was beer, wine, etc., which just went bad.
Yeah.
I'm not even talking about the mixers, etc., which come at a much cheaper cost. But this is just something which we dealt with. And our utility bills were like off the charts. Like I've not seen utility bills like that even when the restaurant was functioning. And there's been no relief on that. We need respite on loan repayments.
Okay.
Yeah. So none of those things are happening. I'm not even getting into the tax right now.
Yeah.
But these are basic things, you know, like give us some, and we're not even asking for anything, we're just asking for deferring. But there's
so far, there's been nothing. There's nothing on that front so far.
No.
Another thing that's happened during this lockdown is that I think people have rediscovered their kitchen. You know, everyone is suddenly a chef on social media. And, you know, like everyone's suddenly like making the most amazing things from their kitchen. Even like, you know, that's something that even you've done and other chefs are also doing. You know, you're posting recipes that people can recreate at home. How do you see this entire trend?
I think it's really great that people got a chance to reconnect with cooking, because I absolutely believe that it's not a random skill. It is a life skill. And
absolutely.
I do feel like if you know how to cook, you can survive. So that's a very, I felt that was a really, really cool thing which happened during the lockdown. And we got to connect with people at all sorts of, across the world. And everyone was indoors cooking, etc. But I don't think that this is also going to last. I can already see like the trend shifting.
Yeah.
People are sick of cooking at home now.
You don't think that's going to affect restaurant business? Not everyone will want to make fancy food at home.
No, I don't think that people will have time anymore. You know, like, real life is coming back.
Yeah.
And we are busier. And there isn't that much time to cook. In fact, people are just like, you know, we've been doing this for too long now. We just need a break. People who are apprehensive about getting delivery also are like, now they're like, please just send us food.
So in terms of, you know, speaking of delivery, what are the kind of changes you had to make to ensure, you know, you take the correct precautions that are needed? You know, how much change did you have to make internally while running the restaurant to ensure that, you know, everything that this pandemic needs is followed? Was there drastic changes that needed to be done?
Not really, because we always had an open kitchen. So we always had to be very, very careful about, you know, hygiene and just safety standards, etc. So it wasn't, more than anything else, it was the packaging. The packaging and the fact that people knew that you're doing these things rather than you just doing them, because it was just about instilling that sort of faith and trust in people. We made sure that, nothing changed for me particularly as far as cooking the food was concerned, because our food anyway comes from vendors who are named on our menu. So everything is very, very transparent. The food supply chain, so it comes from the farm into my kitchen, literally. So the only thing that changed in between was that it was being handled by someone who was delivering it to your place. To ensure that that was done safely, we had to double bag, double pack, do all those things. And I actually feel really bad about that, because I know that pandemic has actually created a lot of waste.
True.
And but I guess these things have to be done. And so what we told people was to just discard the first bag. And everything else was handled internally by the team or me.
That's nice. Speaking of waste, you've been someone who's always been propagating zero waste when it comes to your kitchen. And your restaurant, Fig and Maple, is also based on the concept of, you know, eating local. And do you think this pandemic has forced people to rethink their food choices and their relationship with food in general? Do you think people are now making more conscious and better choices when it comes to food?
I do believe that at least till about a month ago, people were being very mindful about what they consume.
Yeah.
But I also know that it is something which they will have to be reminded of constantly.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so hard to do. Clearly, we have seen, because pandemic hit and everyone did make better food choices. People started growing their own food and cooking at home and buying locally, because there was no option.
Yeah.
But now I don't know how long that is going to actually sit in with people. So I do feel that these sort of messages have to be repeated time and time again, so that people stay in touch and are aware of the impacts of what they consume are on the environment, on them, and in general, even on the next generation.
Yeah, I think it's something that the pandemic has definitely forced us to do, and hopefully people will continue to remember that.
Absolutely.
On that note, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing so much insight into the restaurant business for us. That's all from me this week. I'll be back next week with a new PIN code. Until then, please like, subscribe, and share this episode. We are always looking to hear your thoughts and suggestions. We're ever present on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at HT Smartcast. You can also reach out to me directly on Twitter at Pritika Khanna. Thank you so much for joining in. See you next time. Until then, stay safe and healthy. You can also reach out to me directly on Twitter at Pritika Khanna. Thank you so much for joining in. See you next time. Until then, stay safe and healthy.
This was a Mint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
HD Smartcast.
I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.